All right, Isaiah 55 in your Bibles, please. Isaiah 55. And then we'll get to that passage of Scripture later on in the message, about halfway through, I think. And then we'll start in Genesis chapter 2. All right, so Isaiah 55, find your place there, save it, just for easy reference later on. So we'll spend some time there. And then Genesis chapter 2. It's been good to be in God's house this morning. Wow, what I just really enjoyed the singing and hearing the voices, seeing the faces, smiling faces as we're singing those songs. Thankful for heaven. Amen. Saying about glory land. And when we all get to heaven and this world is not my home. Grateful for that, right? Glad there's a home in heaven awaiting all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. And if you know Christ as your Savior, then heaven awaits. That's worth, that makes it worth it all. Before we get there, though, we need to get as many people to go with us as we possibly can, right? Let's tell as many as we can about Jesus Christ. And let them know that they can have a home in heaven as well. Genesis 2:16. Please, in your Bibles. And if you're willing and able to, if you're in honor of God's word, if you stand with me, we're in our series on Honor God. We began last Sunday morning, Sunday morning message in January is going to be on this thought of honoring God. And if we would take it to heart to honor God in 2024, it'll be an awesome year. If you will commit, I'm going to honor God as a husband, as a mom, as a dad, as a wife, as a child, at school, at work, as a spouse, wherever, I'm going to honor God. That's your desire, that's your goal, and then you look at God's word and see how to honor God. You follow those principles, it's going to be a great year. Oh, it doesn't mean it's going to be without difficulty. It doesn't mean it's going to be without hardship, but if you honor God, then you have his blessings through those things. So it'll make a difference. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says this. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It may not seem like a very encouraging verse this morning to start off with, but we're going to talk about the weight of God's word. The weight of God's word. Our God in heaven, Lord, we love you. Thank you for your love for us. And I do ask that you'd help us, as we already prayed earlier, Lord, that you'd just be with us now as we get into your word, open our hearts, help us to respond how you'd have us to meet the needs today. And may we keep the distractions out, both physical distractions as well as the distractions of our lives that might hinder us from hearing, focusing in on your word. I have nothing to give. I have nothing to say. I know that. But Lord, your word is powerful and it will not return void. Help us to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. The weight of God's word. In our last message last Sunday morning, we covered, for the most part, how to honor God. We looked at 1 Samuel and the contrast between Samuel and Eli the priest who was raising him, how one honored God and the other did not. And how God told the priest, them that honor me, I will honor. How many of you want God's blessings in your life? Say amen. You want God's honor on your life and in your different areas of your life. Well, God sets a prerequisite for that. Them that honor me, I will honor. And so it's, again, I know I keep referencing it, but it goes back to Psalm 1 and where it says, blessed is the man that. And when I see where it says, blessed is the man that, I want blessings. I want God's blessings. So that what? God? That what? Blessed is the man that, whatever it is, I'll do it. Because I want your blessings. Or that does not, okay, whatever it is that you're saying, I shouldn't do to get your blessings, I want to stay away from that. At all costs. Because I want God's blessings on my life. and I need God's blessings on my life. And the truth is, I don't want it to sound like my motivation is selfish reasons. We ought to honor God simply because he deserves to be honored, amen? Because he's God. But there's nothing wrong with desiring God's blessings on your life. He wants you to desire them. He wants you to seek wisdom as a man who is as a man in a desert is seeking water. He wants you to seek God in that way. And so there's nothing wrong with the desire. And God told Eli the priest, them that honor me, I will honor. Get my word on that. But they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We said last week that honor means to give weight, to ascribe value. And so God was telling him, here's how you didn't honor me. You didn't honor what I said. You didn't honor what I told you. You didn't honor my words. You didn't give weight to my words. You didn't give value. You didn't ascribe value to my precepts, my commandments, what I told you. Like, you did not honor me as you didn't honor what I said to you. And don't tell me you, everything else you're doing, Eli, you're doing the rituals and the ordinances, and well, you're doing those wrong anyways, and so are your sons, but you're going through all these motions. They don't matter because you're not honoring what I'm saying to you. And how true it is that we can go through the motions, the ritual, the mundane, the day in, day out, as Christians, showing up at church, wearing a suit and tie, looking good, wearing a dress, whatever you're wearing, it doesn't matter. And you're carrying your Bible and singing the songs and looking good on the outside, but we're not honoring God because of the way we're living our lives. We're not honoring his word and what he has to say to us. So we're not bringing honor to God because it's all a facade. It's all exterior. It's lip service. And so today I want to look primarily at not just that we need to honor God or how to honor God, but what to honor. Remember the old foreign films when a person's lips didn't exactly match up with his voice, you know, I will break you, you know, whatever. Let's fight. You know, how many know what I'm talking about? Okay. How many have no idea what I'm talking about? That's all right. You're not missing out. Well, that becomes the illustration of the Christian who says they believe God, but there's no reflection of it in there. Their lips don't match up with their voice. What they're saying doesn't match up with their actions. I believe God, but you don't see it in my lifestyle. I love Jesus, but you don't see it in the way that I'm living. They don't really believe God then. And we'll talk about that in a second because we have this wrong idea, wrong definition of the word belief. There's a lot of words that we have the wrong definition of that we're using today and causes all sorts of schisms and divisions when really this guy's saying the same thing as this guy, but they're using different terminology or they believe that the terminology means this when it really means this. And when we truly believe God, our lives and our lips then begin to align. If you believe God, your lifestyle shows it. You're not just talking the talk, you're walking the talk. Our history begins with a struggle regarding the Word of God. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Did Adam and Eve believe in God? Yes. But they did not always believe God. Now look at what they did with the words of God. Look at Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Nah. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Both Adam and Eve gave more weight to their own conclusions than they did to the very clear instruction of God. They honored themselves above the honor of God. You're with me this morning? That's what happened. That's what happens when God's word has no weight in our lives. When God's word has no weight in our lives, we begin to view God's word as negotiable. When it's not priority, we begin to view it as negotiable. Did he really say that? Does it really mean that? Genesis 3, verse 1, the end of it. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? God left no room with Adam and Eve for negotiation. None. There was no negotiation about this. Okay, but God, can I just have a little bite? Okay, but what if I make applesauce out of it? You know, okay, God, what if we do, I mean, does it have to be this line seriously? Do we have to draw the line right here? Can't we just kind of work our way around it? And all I'm saying is things that people say today. Does it have to be right? Do we have to draw the line in the sand right here? If God did, then yes. Absolutely. We view it as negotiable. There are things in the Word of God that are not negotiable. He didn't suggest certain things. He didn't say, you know, if you have time or if it works out for you, there are certain things in the Word of God that are clear that He drew the line in the sand on. We like to say are maybe gray matters or just suggestive. We view them as negotiable. When God's word has no weight in our lives, we view it as inconsequential. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. But God detailed the consequences with no uncertainty. He was pretty clear about it. And yet, they viewed it as inconsequential. If they thought it was consequential, if they thought that this is for real, she never would have touched the fruit. Right? If as she's taking a bite of whatever it was, the Bible does not say it was an apple, of whatever it was, I'm going to go with watermelon. All right. Because it made a mess of things. So there we go. They just didn't care. How sad it is in our lives when we know we are doing wrong. We know we are saying, we know this does not honor God. And we do it anyways. Yes, a Christian can get to that point. Oh, guilt. Oh, conviction. Some people say, I don't think a Christian can get to that point. Absolutely they can. David was a man after God's own heart, but he committed adultery and murder, knowing both were wrong. It's a sad place where we view God's word as inconsequential. God's word is not inconsequential. Are you with me this morning? It's not. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm saying, you know, how many problems would I have avoided in my life if I would just view God's word as inconsequential, or I would just view God's word as consequential? I would view it as something that matters, that has value, that has weight. How many problems we look back at on that we would have not been in if we would have just said, this honors God, this doesn't, I'm going to do this. And something else that happens when we give no weight to God's word is that we view God as withholding something good from us. They had everything in that garden. It was given to them on a platter. I mean, everything. The only thing that they were looking at was the one thing they couldn't have. Isn't that how we are? The only thing that... I mean, this was a tree lost in the forest of trees. And that's what they were focused on. They couldn't have it. So they were missing out on all of the other blessings that God had for them, because they're focused on the one thing God didn't want them to have. When you're focused on the negative, when you're focused on the circumstances that you can do nothing about, it'll rob you of all the blessings that God has bestowed on you. My wife just reminded me this morning, Pastor Tid used to always say, if you can't change your circumstances, change your attitude. There's nothing you can do about your circumstances. You can do something about your attitude. We view God as withholding something good from us. They believed God was withholding something good. When we give no weight to God's word, we view it as one of two paths. And we reason that our path is better than God's path. Well, yeah, I mean, obeying God's word, that's one option. I could do that, but I could also do this. You know, I'm not straying from God's word that much. I'm just straying a little bit. But how many have found that when you walk a long distance, just a little bit off course, you end up way off course? And Genesis 3:6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. The problem plainly stated is this: unbelief. In a sense, we could say that sin is always birthed in unbelief. So I don't agree. Well, you just said that Adam and Eve believed God, and now you're saying that they had unbelief. They believed in God, but at this point they didn't believe God. I believe in my wife, but sometimes I don't believe my wife, okay? They believed in God, but at that point, they didn't really believe God's word. They didn't really believe what he was saying. Because if they would have believed it, I really doubt that they would have done it. Okay? Eat it, you die. Okay. No. They didn't believe. And because a belief, really, when you get down to it, a belief is what you accept to be true, right? You with me this morning? A belief is what you accept to be true. So then unbelief is rejecting what is true. Unbelief is not just rejecting something. Unbelief is then rejecting what's true. And non-belief is non-existent. Everybody believes in something. I'm an atheist. Well, what do you believe in? Well, I don't believe in God. Well, you believe in something. You believe in evolution. That takes a lot of faith, by the way. you believe in whatever. Everybody believes in something. Unbelief is non-existent. Everybody believes something. And so, when God's word has no weight in your life, you view God's word as negotiable. You view it as inconsequential. You think God's withholding something good from you. You think your path is better than God's path. And then when you think God's word has no weight in your life, you reap the consequences of placing greater weight on your own reasoning than you do the word of God. There are consequences for it. Look at verse 7. We know the consequences that they face. and the eyes of them both were opened. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And it goes on and on and talks about all that God said was going to happen as a result of their sin. The problem results in pain brought on by our own refusal to trust Him. So we have pain. And when we give no weight to the Word of God, we are in essence glorifying ourselves and robbing God of the glory that belongs to Him. Go to Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Giving weight to the Word of God begins at salvation. Because if you're saved this morning, if you know for sure heaven's your home, then that means, like if you're to die today and you believe you'd wake up in heaven, then that means that there's been a time where you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've called upon Him to save you. And you're not counting on your works, your goodness, or your church or baptism to get you there. For by grace you're saved through faith, the Bible says. And that not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, listening to the answer. And so, if you're saved this morning, you gave weight to the Word of God regarding salvation. You placed high value on that. You believe God's Word as what it says to do about salvation. If you don't know for sure if you're to die today, I want you to know you can. You can pillow your head tonight knowing without a doubt heaven's your home. Because if you'll acknowledge your sin and your Savior and that He died on the cross for your sins and that you can do nothing to get to heaven but by faith believe in Him, call upon Him, be your Savior. Put your faith and trust in Him is the only way to heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says you'll be saved. You can know for sure heaven's your home. And we can help you with that. Even at the end of the service, we can help you. How can I know for sure heaven's my home? We can help you with that. That's where it begins. You valued God's Word when it came to salvation. Value everything else about God's Word as well. Put honor and weight to God's Word in every other area as well. Romans 1 verse 21 says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Do you glorify Him as God? Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Notice what we do when we disregard God's Word. Look at verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. This means they traded truth for their own thinking. Their own reasoning had greater weight than God's. James 1:22 says this, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. God's Word ought to carry so much weight in your life that when you hear what it says to do, you say, okay, I'll do it. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers. We're great at hearing, aren't we? We're professional hearers. We show up at church and we hear all the time. And we even agree. We even say amen. I like it. I wouldn't go to a church that doesn't preach the truth of God's Word. And those things are important to us. But the Bible says, be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Do something with it. It ought to carry so much weight in your life that it changes your life. That it directs your life. Now go to Isaiah 55, if you would. How do we view a weighty word? What do we do about this? Verse 7. Actually, look at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. This is the famous verse everybody loves. I love it. I do. I'm so taken out of context. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You remember the childhood prayer before a meal? God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for our food. By His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Maybe there was some other version. I don't really believe in these vain, empty, repetitious prayers, but how many remember that? Yeah. But it poses the question, do you believe that God is good? So I'm going to ask it again and help me out with the response. Do you believe that God is good? Always? Do you believe that God is great? Always? If God is good and if God is great, that means He will always meet your genuine needs. Not perceived needs. Not the needs that you necessarily think that you need. But He will always meet your genuine needs. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." It also means that He'll follow through with verses like 1 John 1:9 and forgiving our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because God is good and God is great, right? That also means He can never stop loving you. Amen for that. Because I don't deserve God's love. I don't deserve His goodness. And I don't deserve His greatness. But He loves me. Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord hath prepared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love." An everlasting, it never ends. "Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And if God is good and God is great, that means His strength and His grace are always sufficient for anything that I go through in my life, no matter the situation. His grace is sufficient. His strength is sufficient. God is able because He's good and He's great. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." If God is good and God is great, that means that He's in control of all things. He's the ruler of all things, even your circumstances. Amen? Some people are so... I don't believe in lordship salvation, but some people are, I'm sorry, I don't believe in the Calvinistic view of the sovereignty of God regarding salvation. He leaves the choice up to us, amen? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But it's up to you if you're going to accept that free gift of salvation or not, amen? Okay, but don't be afraid of the word sovereign, because He is sovereign. He is a God who is in control. To say He's not sovereign would mean that somebody else is. Are you with me? Somebody has to be sovereign. Somebody has to be Lord. Somebody has to be ruler. And God is in control, yet leaving us up to our choices. And nothing is out of His control. Amen? Nothing is out of His control. I'm talking to the Christian this morning. Your circumstances are in His control. Kind of like with Israel, when He said to the Israelites, basically, I'm going to sum it up in very simple words, He said, "Serve me, obey me," boom, these blessings happen. "Don't serve me, don't obey me," boom, these problems happen. That's God being in control. Consequences of your decisions. And so, if God is good and God is great, That means he's the ruler of all things, even your circumstances. Job 23:10, but he knoweth the way that I take. So glad for that, aren't you? He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as good. That means you can count on him to do what he promised. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? That means you can count on God that he will do what he promised. That also means this, Joshua 1:9, you have no need to fear. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. If you just said amen to this. If you believe that God is always good, it means you will reject your own thinking. If God is always good and he's always great, that means he makes no mistakes. That means he's never wrong. That means my thinking, if it's contrary to God's, is wrong. And I need to give more weight to him and to his commandments and his precepts and his laws and his word and his guidance, his direction, even if I don't really love it. Because he's never wrong. If he's always good and always great, that means he makes no mistakes. He makes no mistakes. Oh, we make mistakes, but he doesn't. We've got to give weight to his word. A.W. Tozer said, with the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, the wisdom of God to plan. Let me start over. With the goodness of God to desire our highest welfare, with the wisdom of God to plan it, and the power of God to achieve it, what do we lack? Surely we are the most favored of all creatures. Look at verse 7 of our text here, Isaiah 55. What happens when we begin to give weight to God's word? We looked at what happens when we don't give weight to God's word. We view it as inconsequential. We don't place any value on it. We think our path is better than God's path, so on and so forth. What happens when we do give weight to God's word? Look at Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsake your way, forsake your thoughts. Isn't it interesting how we can justify so many things when we're relying on our own thoughts? You might come across somebody who maybe no longer attends church or no longer does something that they used to do often regarding serving the Lord or something like that. And they simply conclude that they don't need it any longer. Some reason that they are as much the church as anyone who gathers. They are as much the church as anyone who gathers on Sunday. I just have church by myself. You don't. Their thinking is wrong. Consider the word of God. When you forsake your thinking for God's, you're giving weight to the word of God. Just, I know it's simple. This is not profound. What does God's word say? Pastor, is it okay or not okay if I wear this or this or this or this? God's word says be modest. It's not rocket science. Be modest. Pastor, is this music, type of music glorifying to God? Is this type of music glorifying to God? Is this type of music glorifying to God? God's word says to honor, regarding music, his holiness, not self. That narrows it down quite a bit. It does. Somebody said this. Before you study what the Bible has to say about dress, study what the Bible says about holiness and apply what you learn about holiness and dress. Before you study what the Bible says about music, study what the Bible says about holiness and apply what you learn about holiness to music. And we could fill the blank in every area. But our desire then is this. Our desire ought to be honor God. And oftentimes when we come with the questions, myself included, come with the questions, well, what's wrong with and what's wrong with and what's wrong with? That's the wrong way to approach a subject. We ought to approach a subject with how does it honor God? How does this bring honor and glory to God? That's our approach. I'm not listing details and specifics because we could argue all day about those things, and I don't think there's a point in that. I think the point is this. We ought to approach it with, how does this movie bring honor to God? How does this language bring honor to God? How does this standard, how does this whatever? And by the way, the same can be applied to something that is extremely ridiculous and we think we're holier than thou because of this. Well, how does that bring honor to God? How does that bring honor to God? I think oftentimes our holier than thou attitude brings honor to ourselves. And so there's a ditch on both sides of the road. We've got to be very careful that as we're not backing away from this ditch, we don't end up in this one. As we're backing away from this ditch, we don't end up in this one. Are we okay this morning? Honor God. Forsake our own thoughts and give reason to the thoughts of God. And then, what happens when we give weight to the Word of God? Number two, we return to God's Word to establish our minds. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 7. And let him return unto the Lord. Not only do we forsake our way and return to God's way, but we've got to forsake the thinking that produced our error. Somebody, I don't know who, maybe you've heard it before, coined the phrase, stinking thinking leads to stinking living. You know. And we've got to consider our thought life. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down, turn there if you would. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please, in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Read this out loud with me, would you? Ready? Begin. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Oh, we've got to be careful about our thoughts. You know, if God's ways are far above our ways, and that's where people take this text out of context. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And people will use that as a verse or a couple of verses that just say, you know, it's all going to work out for good. God knows what he's doing. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. And God knows what he's doing. It's all going to work out for good. But Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God. And these two verses here, I want you to notice, these two verses have a prerequisite, okay? It says in verse 7, look at verse 7, please. So, do we not love verse 8? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways. Verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are your thoughts. God's saying, I've got it handled, I've got it in control, and I'm God. But he says in verse 7, here's a prerequisite. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Then, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Listen, verses 8 and 9 apply to the person of verse 7. Are you with me this morning? Verses 8 and 9 are great verses, but they don't happen without verse 7. I want God to work in my life and guide my life and lead my life and direct in the circumstances of my life. But verse 7 has to happen. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. I've got to return to God. Verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Return to God's word. Return to God's word. Stop living in the land of if only. If only my life were this way, if only my spouse would understand me, if only I wasn't created this way, if only my children would respect me, if only my boss would listen to me, if only my parents would trust me, if only I had a little more money, if only I'd do the things I used to do, if only I had more freedom, if only my work situation was better, If only I'd gotten that raise. If only people would treat my children better. If only I had less planned, we go on, or less paid. We go on and on and on about these if onlys in our life, thinking our view of things and life and situations and circumstances is better than what God's allowed to happen. My plan is better than God's. What I want to happen is better than what God allowed to happen. But when we return to God's word and realize He is a God that is in control, we apply 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When we give weight to God's word above our own thinking, then we can, look at chapter 55, verse 7, experience mercy and forgiveness. Look at Isaiah 55, verse 7. And He will have mercy upon him to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. The word abundantly means multiply. God's desire is to heap abundant mercy on His children. Then mercy produces more mercy, and so on. That word abundant means to multiply. He wants to multiply mercy in your life. I'm not talking just about mercy regarding salvation. I'm talking about to the Christian, listen, God wants to keep abundantly showing you mercy in your life. And when you return to God's word, listen, when you return to God's word and you say, God, my ways, my thoughts have been wrong. I want to apply myself and trust you and give weight to your word. Not give excuses. He shows mercy and forgiveness every time. And then the last thing that happens when you give weight to the Word of God is this. We accept God's ways at the expense of our own. Somebody, I don't know who said it. Our ways are incompatible with God's. I don't like the way that sounds. I'm supposed to walk with the Lord. I'm supposed to talk with the Lord. I'm supposed to be in a relationship with God. Yeah, but the relationship is based on this. He leads and I follow. Right? So if I'm walking with God, then I'm just going where He's going. God's way is this way. My way is this way. They're not compatible. You know, to follow means to go where somebody is leading. And sometimes God may lead in a way that isn't all that comfortable. The loss of a loved one or financial problems or health situations or whatever. But when He leads and you follow, that's what fellowship is. It's not God's going a way that I like, so I'm going to go that way. I'm following God. No, you're not. You're going where you're going to go anyways. It's when God leads in a way that might be a little difficult. It's going to take faith. That's what the Christian life is all about, faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when God leads in a direction that might be a little bit more difficult, harder, it might be hard for you to be a witness to somebody. It might be hard for you to tell somebody about Christ. It might be hard for you to be faithful to church. It might be hard for you to change a certain area of your lifestyle that you know is sin. It might be hard to get over a certain vice or sin in your life. It might be hard to parent. It might be hard to parent your teenager or your child in a world where nobody cares about honoring God, but your family does. It might be hard to be a Christian at the workplace and honor God there. But when you return to God's word and you know and understand that He will bless those who honor Him. You return to His word and you forsake your way of thinking. That's where honoring God begins. Generally speaking, my ways will run contrary to God's ways. Got to accept the one, reject the other. James 1:8 says, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It all comes down to this. I said at the beginning. You honor God by believing God's word. My question is this: do you believe God's word? Oh, Adam and Eve believed God. But when it came to that specific situation, God's word no longer mattered. Does it matter to you? Do you believe God? And he says, them that honor me, I will honor. Go to Luke 6, we're done. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What a great question. It's talking to us, Christian. It's preserved for our learning. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house, dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock. And when life happened, when circumstances happened, when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. What's the rock? God's word. Are you with me this morning? The rock he's referring to, he says, you heard my sayings and you did them. You're founded upon a rock. But when we take this and go like this, I'm only going to open it on Sunday morning. That's the only time it matters to me. Your house is not built on a rock. Because the rest of the week is all on you. Because the man who does that is, verse 49. Verse 49 says, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Do you want to honor God? I asked that at the beginning, so let's just get an answer real quick. Do you want to honor God? Amen. Then begin by giving due weight to the word of God. Not to a pastor. Not to a person. Not to some ideas. But to what God's word says. Isaiah 66 verse 2 says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God's word is not something to be reckoned with. This isn't a pointing fingers at anybody. This is so convicting to me. What in our lives needs to change? Not because of some guy's thought on this or this. Because of God's word. You look at God's word. This is your responsibility. You look at God's word and you measure your life up to God's word. And answer the question, what needs to change? Only you and God know that. But don't justify it with your own thoughts. And rationalize, well, that's not relevant today. This is relevant today. This doesn't change. God doesn't change. God didn't say, oh, you know what? We're in the 2020s now, so I'm just going to take that part out of the Bible. It used to matter, but it doesn't matter anymore. Not when it comes to the spiritual parts of the Bible. Oh, I know, there's national laws and things like that in the Old Testament that don't apply because they're national laws. They're ritualistic. I'm talking about the things that apply to our life. He doesn't change. God's word doesn't change. Look at your life. Compare it. It's what God says. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This time, as the pianist comes, I don't know how the Lord spoke to your heart. I just want to challenge the dads to look at how you're leading your family. Moms, to look at how you're influencing. Are you influencing towards honoring God or making things easier for yourself? I want to challenge the teenager, the young person. Are you desiring to honor God with your life? Or are you trying to honor yourself, honor your friends, put your friends first?